Weekday Wake Up on the SVI Radio Network, Swift 98 and The Spur, as we head into our guest interview segment this morning. And Senator Dan Dockstetter stepping in studio, wrapping up the legislative session last week and here to give us a report on how things went. A budget session this year, Senator. So, of course, a lot of back and forth with the budget, to say the least. And then you throw the property tax discussions in on top of that. Where do we start with how the session went?
Well, we opened it up. While it was a budget session, we opened it up with an emphasis on property taxes. Finally, the rest of the state is filling that problem. And we actually, shortly after opening, we went into caucus and said, who has what as far as property tax legislation? I had several other people had some. We looked at those bills and said, well, there are certain segments that may work well. We brought in the Department of Revenue into that discussion so that we wouldn't run into a problem with them later saying, well, that won't fit into the system. It'll take forever to do that in our computers. We brought them into the discussion. And Duke, what we eventually ended up with, what we call Senate File 54, House Bill 45, House Bill 3, and House Bill 4. Now, altogether, this legislation provides about 25% of the fair market value exemption to all homeowners. So there's an opportunity to save there. It also caps the annual property tax increases at 4%. That comes out of House Bill 45. Myself and Representative Allred were co-sponsors on that one. That's a key piece of legislation right there. And we also have another piece of legislation that expands eligibility for tax refunds for the elderly, for those who have lived in their homes for a long time. Altogether, it's considered the largest tax refund and reform package the state has ever seen. And while all the budget was going on, there were people working on these tax bills. That's what we narrowed it down to: Senate File 54, House Bill 45, House Bill 3, and House Bill 4. And it's a lot of change coming up. Plus, last year, Senate Joint Resolution 3 coming through that the Teton delegation, myself, put on the ballot. You'll see that on the ballot. It allows us to go in and change the Constitution to forever, essentially, change how residential property is taxed. And that gives us an opportunity to turn around and cap and drop those taxes even further. Duke, behind all that, when we do this, there's a group of people that we make very nervous, and they're tracking it: our local governments and our schools, because we reduce the funding that goes to those organizations. And believe me, they were right in the middle of the discussion. And some of them said, these bills will not work because it cuts too much back to towns and counties. It cuts too much back to the schools, and we're trying to find that balance. So the whole time we're reaching out and finding tax cuts, we're trying to keep our counties, our towns solvent. And they were heavily involved in the discussion. I think we have a good compromise here. I think we've reached it with these four pieces of legislation, and people will be able to read more about them in the edition of the latest edition of Star Valley Independent as we go in. There's a lot going on out there in property taxes.
Excellent. Senator Dan Dockstetter in studio. I want to touch more on the upcoming ballot initiative, or I shouldn't say initiative anymore, but the upcoming election with what's going to be on the ballot. And tell us again why people need to vote in favor of that amendment to the Constitution.
That's a constitutional change. It allows us to go in and change our Constitution, to go in and change it in a way that we can reduce residential property taxes. Right now, there are limitations on what we can do with our taxing, because the Constitution says you will collect a tax for this amount. We're saying with this initiative that you'll see on the ballot come November, you give us permission to go in and make that change. It doesn't mean the bill will change it. What we passed was a resolution saying allows us to open up the Constitution, make this change, and then right behind it there needs to be a trigger bill in the next session that tells us specifically how much we will drop in residential property taxes. So there are even more coming, and I suggest that maybe our counties and towns will be even more nervous.
So, Senator, so with all that in mind, and assuming these bills that you've highlighted are signed by the governor, do these go into effect now? Do people begin to see
everything,
a reduction in their next property tax evaluation?
Everything in July. You'll see it. You'll see it unfold there. It takes a little while to work into the process.
Senator, let's talk about the rest of the session. Of course, with the budget session, it was controversial at times with what the Senate wanted to do and what the House wanted to do, and some unique ways to compromise in the middle.
I can tell you more about what the Senate did. I was watching the process from the outside going through the session, and then we had a block. We had a disagreement. Some say it was on purpose, but we had the House saying to the Senate, we're not going to take this negotiation any further. They asked for a free committee, and a free committee essentially goes in, and you can change all the rules, or you can open everything up, But they were saying no more. They're not going to work with the Senate committee. And it's all part of what we do in the political battles. I've done it myself. I've been on appropriations before. I've said you are not going to have a capital construction budget because there are way too many projects in this. For example, favoring the university 1 year, I said, they don't need all this in 1 year. And the Senate side agreed with me, and we stood our ground, and there was no capital construction budget. We turned out the lights and went home, and the House said, wait a minute, we've gotten one more negotiation. We said, no, we're done. And there was no CapCon budget, that's what we call it. There was 1 year we didn't have an agreement on education. I checked with Lincoln, too, and I said, where are you? If we stick with the existing education budget, is there a problem? Do you have enough funding to exist? They did. Checking with other districts, they were all fine, but there was a proposal to up that education budget. The House and the Senate were not agreeing, and we said, no deal. Deal or no deal? In the Senate, we said, no deal. And that's what it is. And then this year, it was getting close with the budget. They said, okay, we don't have an agreement between the Senate Committee, Joint Appropriations Committee, and the House Joint Appropriations Committee. And whether it was a political move or not, all things are political, so I suggest probably, as I said, we're not going to show up anymore. Well, that doesn't do us any good. We have to have a budget. Let me take, for example, let me share with you what we do. This is just maybe a third. If we don't have a budget, this is a third of what could happen. If we were to walk out of Cheyenne and say no budget altogether, we would shut down the driver's services across the state. The DEQ would lose primacy to oil and gas. We'd have to turn it over to the federal government. We would have to close down our state parks, our retirement system. All those receiving retirement checks through the state of Wyoming would no longer receive them. There would be no major maintenance across the state. Wyoming State Geological Survey would delay all the revenue-producing energy projects across the state. In other words, oil and gas, all of that would cease because there would be no governing process. There would be no governing template for it. Department of Insurance, when you have a complaint with your insurance, you go to the Department of Insurance and ask for help. Last year, there was 1,459 complaints. Guess who dealt with those? The Department of Insurance. Well, we'd shut them down. There's no budget. We'd shut that down. Hospital Mining Board would shut down. Department of Ag would shut down. There would be no meat inspections, no nothing. All the child care programs would shut down. The funding to weed and pest, there would be no weed and pest in Afton or anywhere in the state if we shut the budget down. Air quality would shut down. And fire suppression support out of state forestry would shut down. All the meat plants would shut down with no inspections. The Craig forecasts that we put together to see how much money we have, those would shut down. I could just go on and on and on. There are so many state agencies that you would not have. In a big federal government shutdown, you don't notice much, but I promise you if we shut down the Wyoming state government, you would feel it on day one all the way through, right down to our town governments would receive more, town and county governments would receive no funding. The education dollars would stop flowing. It would be a disaster, and that's what I didn't want. So they reached out and formed what's called a joint conference committee at the end, and they pulled an old dog like me. I've been around for a while, and so they said, you've had experience on appropriations. We went in and said, this is what we'll do. Senate had about 9.9 in a budget, and the House came around. They wanted more. We compromised with about 11.1 billion-dollar compromise in there, million-dollar compromise, $700 million in coverage, be 3% less funding overall with the budget. Nonetheless, nobody's ever happy, but we passed a budget, and we kept the state government open and running in Wyoming. If there are more places to cut and reduce, we will do that in the years to come, but it takes a little more planning than all of a sudden just showing up and saying no on the budget. There's a lot in there.
Senator Dan Dockstetter with a legislative report on what happened at the session recently in Cheyenne that wrapped up last week. Any other pieces of legislation that were discussed that you wanted to highlight, Senator?
Well, we passed. I work in the Labor and Health Committee and on the Minerals Committee. We passed several different bills that allow our energy industry to flow and work a little bit better. They're complicated, but nonetheless, that's what my focus is to keep our energy industry up and running. I would note that all of that is developing fast. We have in Green River just the past 2 days, I keep telling people, the Trona patch is exploding. It's going to be ahead of Kemmer and everything else. And that was one of the things we got into a big heyday over, whether we have a Rock Springs school expansion. Well, all of that is going to expand. Green River, Rock Springs, Bridger Valley will rapidly grow in the next few years because of the Trona patch explosion. Let me just give you a little idea. Just in the past 2 days, as they changed the mining process there, in addition to what we already have in the Trona Patch, we have a $6 billion Trona Patch project near Green River that'll be announced and open and running this summer. And that's just the start of many right behind it. There's a lot changing, especially in southwest Wyoming, and that's kind of my focus.
Senator Dan Dockstetter, it's all part of the weekday wake-up this morning. Anything else, Senator?
One more quick thing. When it was all said and done, we shut out the lights Friday night. I went up and checked because I thought we'd been voting a lot in the last 4 weeks. This excludes the ayes and nays. It excludes the hand raises and the committees, all of that. But on the Senate floor, we had 554 roll call votes.
Wow. So you were busy, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Senator Dan Dockstetter with the legislative report. It's all part of the weekday wake-up on SVI Radio.